We've been covering the last 3 weeks a series that I've been prefacing each Sunday, and I want to preface it again today before I share this last final message today. Some of you are here today for the first time, or this is your second or third time that you've been here. And you're what we affectionately refer to at Evergreen as a seeker, someone who is investigating the Christian faith, someone who has spiritual questions, and they want to look for answers. And Evergreen was really designed for that purpose, to give you the opportunity to come in a non-confrontational environment, in a place that's warm, that's caring, that's unthreatening, and investigate Christianity. Many of you have been coming for a longer period of time, 6 months, 7 months, a year, 2 years. And when you first started coming, you were also in that seeking mode, looking for answers, looking for what Christianity might mean. And during that time, you've come to discover that Christ is what Christianity is about. That Jesus Christ is the answer to man's quest. And you've accepted Him into your life. You've asked Him into your life. This series is designed for you. I say that because some of the things I cover may not relate to where some of you are at in your own experience, in your own life. And I don't want you to feel pressured or offended by the topics that I cover. I want to talk today about involvement, getting involved. This is really the culmination of this series and the most important element. The first Sunday we covered a call to commitment, to commitment to Jesus Christ, to making our life really count. I was visiting with a close friend yesterday whose sister was just killed in an auto accident. I just was at his wedding about 3 years ago and met her, and just like that, she was gone. 30 years old. We talked about how life is so short and we want to make the most of our life and we want to make it count. We talked about the real meaning of life is a life that's lived in devotion to Jesus Christ, because then we can lay up treasure in heaven. Our life can count. As Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses the value of his life for God? He gains nothing. The next week we talked about commitment to the mission. Our commitment has a focus, and that focus is the mission of Jesus Christ. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with every man, woman, and child on the planet. And we talked about at the end of our life, it's not so much what we have to show for our life, but who we have to show for our life. Who have we influenced for Christ? Who is going to be in heaven? Who is going to spend eternity with God because of our life, because of our message, because of what we did in our relationship with them? We talked about using our resources, our time, our energy to influencing and winning friends. As Jesus said, win friends for yourself here on earth, so that when your money fails and your life ends, you have friends that welcome you into eternal dwellings. Last week we talked about a commitment to excellence. You see, if we're committed to the Lord and we're focused on a mission, then we must do it with excellence. We must pursue moral excellence, personal excellence, spiritual excellence. Excellence in our family, excellence in the way we live, excellence in our marriage, excellence in our friendships. In other words, I use excellence as just a synonym for maturity. God wants us to mature. Babies, IBM doesn't send babies out to make sales calls. They're not very effective. We need to grow up so we become effective ministers, effective men and women, effective ambassadors in the kingdom of God, so that we can do kingdom business. Now, this week, I want to talk to you about getting involved. We're in a really interesting time in our nation's history right now. As a country, we face a major crisis. It could turn into one of the biggest crises, maybe the biggest ever, this country's ever faced in the Mideast. And it's interesting, as I read the newspaper, as I watch the news, to see the faces, the portraits of men and women who are heading overseas. And it tells their story. Another thing that's been amazing to me, and maybe unprecedented, I don't remember it during Vietnam, and I definitely don't remember it during World War II. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It seems to me to be something that is very new and different this time around. is you've got a mom and a dad who are both in the service. They have two little children, and they're both kissing their children goodbye, heading off thousands of miles to a place they've never been to fight what could be a major war, a major conflict. I don't remember that ever happening before. That sacrifice, that commitment. And then we have other men and women who have been living their life, a normal civilian life, for many, many years. And all of a sudden, the call has come. The need has come. The crisis has come. They might be lawyers. They might be doctors. They might be homemakers. They might be attorneys. They might be business people. They might be business owners, salespeople, engineers. A whole variety of people are being called on now for their skills and their abilities. We need you. And they're dropping everything, and they're going. And although I don't think war is a wonderful thing, I think it's a stirring thing, though, an honoring thing, an honorable and noble thing, to see people committed to something that I believe is right. And to see that kind of commitment in people. If we look at Christianity today, as Christians, we're involved in a crisis. We're involved in a world crisis. There is a spiritual crisis in the people that we know, people who live next door to us, the people who work with us, the people across the world, across the ocean. We live in a time of crisis. The problem is that with our crisis, it's a never-ending crisis. And therefore, it's much more difficult to stay focused. It takes that much greater leadership to keep you and I focused on the crisis that we're involved in and the need, because it's been going on since the dawn of man. And since the day Jesus Christ died, there's that spiritual crisis, that spiritual warfare, that battle that's going on for men and women's lives. And it's the most important crisis in the world. And we, as men and women, must get involved. You know, the title of this series is The Joy of Commitment. There is, as John was sharing earlier, there's one joy in spectating. But no joy in the world compares to being a participant. The greatest joy in the world is involvement, participation. I think that's one of the things that has been missing since the 60s. We got into the 70s. After the 60s, there was massive involvement in something, social change. We thought we would change America, and then a lot of changes happened. Some good, some not so good. Then we got into the 70s, and we got into the 80s, and we just sort of, there was nothing to get involved in anymore. We got involved in materialism. We got involved in all kinds of things to busy our life. Here we are in the 90s, and God is calling us to involvement. God is calling us to get involved and make a difference in our world and make a difference in our cities. I think one of the most frustrating things in the world is to be a football coach about right now. You're getting ready for a winning season. You always prepare for a winning season. You never prepare for a losing one. You want to win. And you head to training camp and all your guys show up except three holdouts. Three guys who decide they're worth more. And the team is built around those three men. And so you're supposed to train the rest of the guys for a winning season when you're using substitutes in their place. And then the season gets started. Boy, does that ever hamstring a coach. That has got to be so frustrating. You know, sometimes I think God feels the same way. You see, God is not going to come down here and do the work. He's given us the opportunity and the privilege to get involved. But how many times God must look down and go, my goodness, so much more could be taking place if my people would get involved, if people would quit holding out, wanting things that don't really satisfy, but we keep holding out. Or like soldiers who decide they don't want to go. Paul tells us in the book of Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, just like our country has an army, God has an army. And just like a football player has a team, God has a team. And just like we sitting in this room have a body, God has a body. God's army, God's team, God's body is you and me. It's called the church. We've grown up in America, when we hear the word church, we think of a building. We think of stones. We think of bricks. We think of pews. We think of stained glass. That's all that is material. That isn't the church. You're the church. You're living stones. The Bible refers to you as living stones. You and I are the body of Christ. Now, I want to tell you, our bodies aren't very effective when parts aren't working or when parts are holding out on us. I was really frustrated to try to sing today. I knew my voice was going to squeak and people were going to giggle and it feels really funny. You know, my voice is holding out on me. It's no fun. Or if someone hacks your arm off and you go around armless, it's no fun. You have to adjust. And it's what we call it a handicap. You have to learn to do without it. But it'd be nice if you had them both. Or let's just say you decide, you know, I want my leg to live on its own. This leg has a mind of its own. That's sometimes what disease does to our body. It sort of has a mind of its own. And all the frustration of trying to control your limbs and do something with the body that it will no longer respond to. Well, now you know how God feels. See, God has feelings too. God has emotions too. And He looks down and He sees the clock ticking down. Game time was a long time ago, and people are sitting up in the stands that ought to be down on the field playing where the action is. That's where the joy is. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, Mark, but that involves sacrifice. Well, you know, everything involves sacrifice. Holding out is a sacrifice. You're sacrificing the joy and the fulfillment that you could have by being involved. To get involved means you sacrifice the trivial joys and pleasures that you could experience for something that's greater. You know, God never asks us for anything that He doesn't give mega in return. God told His disciples, the Lord Jesus said to them, He said, there's none of you who have left fathers, homes, brothers, sisters, for My sake and the Gospel's, that will not receive 100 times in this life, homes, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, more family. You think about Jesus, I'm so glad He thought that we were worth giving up His life for. Do you know it says that in the book of Hebrews, that that's why He did it? He was the firstborn among many relatives, among many brothers and sisters. He wanted us as family. Jesus was a team player. You know what a team player is? A team player is a person who plays for the good of the team. That's a team player. There is no greatness without team players. There is no history making without team players. I love sports. I particularly like football. And I'd give anything. If I knew I had the ability to play, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't watch it. I'd play it. Because when I was a kid, I could play it. Then the competition and the talent got greater and mine didn't grow. So I quit playing it. But if I knew I could get out there and play, man, I'll tell you, I love it. Being a part of a winning effort, there's like nothing else in the world. Being a part of something that's happening, something that's dynamic, something that's going somewhere is awesome. God's movement is going somewhere. This church is going somewhere. And you can be a part of that. You know, when you came to know Jesus Christ, I'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. God gave each one of you a gift, a spiritual gift. He put you in His body and He gave you a gift. You are unique and special to the body of Christ. Every single one of you. You have abilities. You have gifts that God has given you. You have talents. And those talents and gifts work through the personality that God gave you. See, He designed your whole being. And then when you came to know Him, He even designed you more. And He put the last components in. The spiritual components to your life. And you will find fulfillment like you've never known before when you get involved with a body of believers, with a team of Christians, with an army of men and women who are striving for the kingdom of God. It will be unlike anything you've ever experienced in your life. We need you. God needs you. You know, I've heard people say, God doesn't need us. I don't know where people have gotten that. And I don't know what verse in the Bible they ever find to support that. But would you look at your body and say, I don't need this body? What does Corinthians tell us? Should the eye say to the hand, because you're not that, I don't need you, get out of here. Should the hand look at the legs, who needs a toe, man? Who needs a foot? Get out of here. You think the head, Jesus Christ, looks at his body and says, I don't need you, I can do this all by myself. No, he can't. And he won't. Because he's chosen not to. He's chosen to allow us the joy and the privilege of being involved in the most awesome cause in the world. Reaching men and women for Christ. I want to tell you, I was at a wedding yesterday. Some of you were there. Being at those weddings is one of the neatest thrills of my life. But it's not just being in the wedding. It's the fact that I know I had the privilege, simply the privilege, to be involved in that man and woman's life. To know that I contributed. To know that I made a difference. And that their life has taken a course. And many of you are the same here. We don't have to be at a wedding to be here. Your life has taken a new course because of your involvement here at Evergreen. Because you've been attending. That is the greatest thrill in the world. And you know that can be the same for you. It's not just for Brent and I or others that are involved. It's for all of us to be involved together, making it happen. We can make business for God happen. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. And Jesus also said that when we're united, nothing should be impossible for us. But you look at the Vikings last year, they had all the potential to be a winning team, but you know what they missed? They missed one crucial unseen element. That's called unity. It's called singleness of purpose. Unity of heart. And everybody contributing. Everybody getting involved. God has a place for you here at Evergreen. God has a place, a slot, for you to get involved. Everything matters at this church. You know, there's approximately 100 people involved in ministry at Evergreen Community Church right now. It's easy to come sometimes and think, boy, this is kind of the Mark and Brent and the band show, you know. That's not true. That's not true. If there was no one who is committed to setting up this PA, then you, obviously there'd be no voice. There'd be no one to hear. If there wasn't for this band to set you at ease, we'd have a much more difficult task. If it wasn't for the people who are greeting and the people who are hostessing at the tables and those who are providing for the children, those who do all the legwork, those who go and purchase the refreshments, there'd be nothing going on at this church. We are embarking on something that I believe is extremely exciting. In fact, a lot of times, I can't sleep at night just thinking about what our future holds here at Evergreen. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were asking me if we ever thought of starting a church in Oregon. And I said, you know, it'd be a great place to start a church. But you know one of the reasons I think it'd be a great place to start a church? It's because there's no competition. One of the greatest things in the world, every marketer, salesperson in the world would give their right arm to know they had the product that no one else had. I feel that way about Evergreen. If that offends you, I'm sorry. I don't mean it to. I feel that strongly about what we're doing here at Evergreen. We have an opportunity, a product to offer people. And I'm not talking about Jesus Christ right now. I'm talking about our service. This service is unlike any that I know in the Twin Cities. A place where the unchurched can come and feel comfortable. Now, if hundreds start like it, that's great. And I know there are many other men and women and churches who are committed to reaching people for Christ. But I'm committed to what we're doing, and I see it working. And I'm also tell you something really thrilling. I believe this Friday night service is going to take off. I believe it's an idea whose time has come. I want to share with you why and how you can be involved and why we need your help. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this. Many of you here are not married. You don't have children. But let's just take a normal week in a person's life. It starts off a Monday morning. You get the children up. You have maybe two children, three children. You get up 5:30 in the morning. Get the kids up between 6 and 6:30. Sometimes just leave them in their pajamas or get them dressed. You get into the car. You head off for daycare or for school. You get caught in rush hour traffic going to work. You're already stressed by the time you get to work. If you've ever driven in rush hour, it is a bummer. It is not fun. You get to work. You have a hectic day at work. And then you come home. You hit rush hour again. You're stressed before you even get home. You go pick up the kids. You come home. Maybe the wife is supposed to get dinner ready as well as having worked all day. Or maybe the husband's, I don't know who does in your house. Whoever does, somebody's got to do it. And before you know it, it's around 8 o'clock and the kids, well, we got to get them down because they get up so early. You don't have much time with the kids. Well, 5 days in a row, your life is like that. 5 days in a row. Then the weekend comes. Saturday's not a day off. Saturday's a work day. Do the laundry, wash the car, fix the car, do the house repairs, everything else. Take a kid to ballet lessons, take him to softball lessons. Of course, you got that going on during the week. And us wonderful Christians, we ask the unchurched to give up their only sleep-in morning and their only day off. Aren't we kind? Well, we're thoughtful. I tell you, we're really thoughtful. And so if you're a family, you kind of crawl out of bed at 8 in the morning. Okay, church is at 10. 8 in the morning, you take your shower, you shave. Oh my goodness, 4 kids, you get them out of bed. They've been getting up every morning. Of course, you know, cartoons they get up for on Saturday morning, so they've been up early every morning. And you get rush off to church. You get on with church, you hang out, and it's noon. It's noon, my friends, on the only day off the unchurched have. 8 to noon, that's 4 hours. You wonder what happens at 5 o'clock? At 5 o'clock while you're eating dinner, husband and wife are thinking, oh my goodness, tomorrow's Monday morning. Okay, we've got this to do, this to do, it's got to be to bed by 8. You know how much time they had in their week? 5 measly hours. And about 3 of those are taking up the husband in front of the football game. Now you get a picture of the average individual's life. Okay? Now let's go. Friday night service. No kids to get ready. They're already ready. They're casual. Go to friends for dinner. Go out to dinner. Go to McDonald's. Come to Evergreen and we will make your weekend great. You know why most people have a bummer of a weekend? Because they had a bummer of a week. And a bummer of a week sets you up for a bummer of a weekend. But now you come on Friday night. And you know, my goodness, this church has given me my whole day off on Sunday. Sort of like God said, you know, a Sabbath day. To rest the whole day. Wow, this is really neat. They're done early enough in the evening. They want to take out of town, go see the relatives. They take out of town, see the relatives. They don't want to, they just go home. And they can sleep in on Sunday morning and feel good about it. I'll tell you what, if I wasn't a pastor, that'd be my program. Friday night, my family and I would go to church. Sunday morning, this guy would sleep in, hang out, and just hang around. Just like most of the rest of us, if we didn't think it was unspiritual, we have to get over that hurdle. I think it has great marketability. And I think, I'll tell you another thing that I've found. Many of you have come up and told me, you know, as I've talked to my friends, they said, you know, I've been busy on Sundays, but I am going to try Friday night. I want to come Friday. That's great. Nothing's on TV on Friday night. I don't know, really is. You ever watch the networks? They know. Nothing's going on Friday night. Families, I don't know about your family, but there's not a whole lot going on Friday night. You just kind of hang out. If you're single, I think the same thing is true. I didn't mean to bore that child. I'm sorry. I tell you. Oh, I knew this voice was going to do it. Just so long as that wasn't an adult out there. I can't see you out there. Well, anyway. You understand what I'm saying? To do a Friday night service, we need approximately another 100 people to be involved. To give excellence to the unchurched, to reach them, we've got to work together as a team. We must be disciplined. We must be excellent. or it will all fall to pieces and we're going to look like real dodo brains. And I don't want to look like a dodo brain. Okay? We're sending out between 30 and 50,000 flyers to announce this to the community and the surrounding communities. You can announce to your friends, but what we need is men and women here who have been attenders to now become participants. For those who have been spectators, now to get involved. To get involved and make use of your gift and make use of your energy and make use of your time. We need people to take care of children. Do you know, so often we think that children get overlooked a lot. And I've talked to a number of people that have come here, and here's what they've told me. I can hardly believe this, but they told me. I've gone to churches, and they had no child care at all. No Sunday school. You just were supposed to sit with them through the whole service. I think that's appalling, myself. I think that's sad. I think that's foolish. Some people just have no understanding or concept of where people are at. Our child care, many families come back because of the child care. You know, we realize we don't own this building, but Brent and I have been committed to buy the best child care equipment we can get. No junk. If it gets old or it doesn't work or it looks rusty or whatever, we heave it and we buy something new. Because people's kids are important and they care about the kids. The quality of that care back there is essential. The men and the women in particular have been giving their time to that. I want you to know, it does not go unseen. We really notice it, and many people have come back because of that. The discovery years, the things that the children are learning. I'll tell you, kids are great. Many of you may think, I don't know if, you know, if I can deal with kids or if I have anything, if I'd be good enough. You'd be good enough. They'll love you. You'd be a hero to kids. You'd be surprised how easy it is to be a kid's hero. I mean, if I could be my kid's hero, believe me, you can be. You can be. And they'll love you. And it'll be fulfilling as you get involved and use your abilities. Greeters. Maybe a person who loves to smile. You love to meet people. You never get a second chance to make a good first impression. Never. And our greeters are very important at those doors. And the people handing out. And their smile and their friendliness. We need people for ushering. We need help. We need your involvement. And if you get involved, you'll experience a joy and a part of a team that maybe you never had before in your life.